As always, once a week on Breakfast with Ben's, Joe Rutter joins me. He's our beat writer who covers the Steelers at Trib Live. This week, Joe joining me via telephone after the Mike Tomlin press conference as I was hosting for Mark Madden on 105.9 The X. Joe and I were both at the press conference together, though, earlier in the day on Tuesday, and we started off talking about Mike Tomlin's surprisingly optimistic tone surrounding this struggling Steelers offense.
Joe, what did you think about Mike Tomlin's assessment of where his offense is and his state of optimism about it?
He's kind of damning them with faint praise, saying that they've shown improvement every week. I mean, in some categories, yeah, that can be true. I mean, when you score two touchdowns in one half after only getting one offensive touchdown in each of the first two games, I guess that does represent progress. But very minor progress, and it just shows that he's going to stick with Mitch Trubisky, at least for the time being.
I was making the point earlier that if you subtracted the Kenny Pickett variable, the fan base enthusiasm for him, the fact that he's a first-round pick, even Joe, if they'd taken St. Malik Willis as a first-round pick, I don't think as many people would be clamoring for Trubisky to go to the bench. I think they'd still be selling themselves on their own beliefs as to why they endorsed the Trubisky signing in the first place. What do you think?
Well, in this type of atmosphere now we live in where it's, give me what you can right away. I can see fans wanting the unknown. If it was Mason Rudolph as the backup, no, I don't think they'd be clamoring for Mason Rudolph. But it's because Kenny Pickett is new and fresh, and yes, he went to Pitt. That plays a lot into it. But if it was Malik Willis, I think there'd still be people out there like saying, hey, throw this kid in. What can he do any worse than Mitch Trubisky's done? So I think the fact that it's just a new – fresh look on the bench, and the Pitt thing does play a lot into it, but I think that's more about they've seen enough of what they want to see here. They want to try something new.
Joe, what about the running game and where it is right now? That's a huge component of why the offense hasn't been great either, although it was better against Cleveland. Is that part of what Mike Tomlin is selling us and selling himself?
Yeah, I think they're trying to pin it that it is getting better. For one half, it was better. And, they had that one drive where they ran, 7 out of 10 plays, I think it was, and just really seemed to move the ball downfield. A lot of that had to do with Jaylen Warren being out there as well. So that was encouraging. But, then when in the second half, when you're going 3 and out, you can't, you've got to be able to sustain drives, and the running game has to be a part of it. But, if you're not getting chunks of yardage on first and second downs and you're not moving the sticks, then you're going to have to abandon it. And that's what they eventually had to do after going 3 and out a couple times, and Cleveland took that 9-point lead.
If you were to ask me, bigger problem as to why the Steelers have such lousy time of possession, offense or defense, my response would be yes. How about you?
Both. Yeah, both. I mean, they're not stopping the run. They have to stop the run in order for that to happen on defense. But yeah, you can't go 3 and out and possess the ball for less than 2 minutes, as often as they have in the second half of these games. I mean, yeah, it's everything. We're going to see what happens now. Maybe Montrevious Adams gives them a little better support in the run game. I was a little surprised to see that. I mean, it must show that they think Tyson Alualu just really hasn't come back yet from that ankle surgery.
How much of the run game woes are the result of T.J. Watt? And when I ask that, Joe, not necessarily from the standpoint of me suggesting that T.J. Watt is a great run stuffer or the biggest component of the rush defense, but to answer my own question, I think it's a component because I think they rely on him to keep them in long, them being the opponents in long down and distance situations, and that's not happening enough.
Yeah, it isn't happening enough, and he is a component of that. He's a big component because, yeah, he is good at stopping the run. He gets a lot of tackles for loss. He's able to keep teams from getting out on the edge there. And, without him, it's a totally different defense against the run and with the pass rush. So, yeah, I think, they've got at least 2 more weeks to deal with this, and, they've got to figure out a way to do it because you just can't keep the defense out on the field as long as it's been.
Are the Jets potentially doing the Steelers a favor by benching Joe Flacco for Zach Wilson now that Zach Wilson could be healthy enough to start this week? I kind of think they are.
It could be, because you figure there's going to be a rust factor involved there. And it's not like they're throwing, the next Patrick Mahomes in. I mean, he played 13 games last year, was 3-10 as a starter. You know, and he's coming off, inactivity for, about the last month and a half or so. So, yeah, I expect there to be some kind of rust. And, it used to be in the days when the Steelers used to dominate rookie quarterbacks. I guess he's not a rookie, I guess second-year quarterback. But they used to dominate young quarterbacks. And so I think they would be happy to see that. On the other hand, Joe Flacco doesn't move around like he used to. Not that he was particularly mobile in the first place. So maybe they're, would like to see him back there so they can maybe get some more sacks and, get some more turnovers that way.
Yeah, see, I brought that into the equation too. I was thinking to myself, well, Flacco doesn't move. Zach Wilson does move pretty well if his knee is better anyway. But, Joe Flacco never moved well, and the Steelers' defense used to be a lot better than even what it is right now. And he still would come up with the occasional big win in Pittsburgh. So when I would believe at times that the Ravens weren't as good as the Steelers, he still managed to pull off some upsets at what was then called Heinz Field. So I wouldn't rule it out if you were to do it again with the Jets. And you know what, Joe, with the way things are going right now, I still don't rule out the Jets pulling off an upset. That better not happen, because if it does, boy, I was joking earlier about the sky falling. That would really be the case on Monday.
Yeah, if you're going 1-4 with a trip to Buffalo awaiting you, or 1-3 with a trip to Buffalo awaiting you, that's not good. Nobody expected that coming into the season, especially when you think that right now your only win is really because you have a blocked extra point. That wouldn't be good at all. And I think then the pitchforks would be out, and the calls for Mitch Trubisky to be out and Kenny Pickett would be in, even if they lost 31-30 or something like that.
Joe Rutter with us from the Trib. All right, Joe, so if Mike Tomlin were being 100% honest with us and himself, and we asked him, why are you sticking with Mitch Trubisky, do you think the answer would honestly be because we think Mitch is good, because we think that Kenny would get killed out there, or because we just don't think that Kenny is very good right now? Which of those three is the most likely answer that he would give?
None of them are very good options. When you're asking presenting these options, my thought is maybe four, that they've made this commitment to Mitch Trubisky and they want to see it through and they just don't want to junk it after 3 weeks. I think they would probably say Kenny Pickett is not ready yet to maybe, take control of the team, with 14 games left in a season. I think they want to ease him in as best they can. And I think they want to give Mitch Trubisky, with the commitment they made to him, the promises of coming in, getting a chance to start, they want to give him time to get to see this through, whether that's one more game, two games, three games, I don't know, maybe the first half of the season. But I think Mike Tomlin feels he owes it to him and the team to let this thing ride out a little bit longer instead of just pulling the plug immediately as soon as fans get upset.
Well, that's what he said today, right? I mean, that's essentially the message that he put out today through the press conference. And he's prioritizing being steady is what it sounds like to me. And that was even followed up by a question about some of the young players who might be expressing doubt. And he wanted to say through us in the media today that sticking with the plan is an answer to that. Like, you don't just twist in the wind when the fans and media get on you. But I mean, would he be twisting in the wind, or would he be putting the better quarterback in there? Would he be doing better by the team if he were to change coordinators? Like, he's got to answer that honestly himself too, doesn't he?
Yeah, at some point it's going to come to a head on one of those two issues, either the quarterback or the coordinators. If he believes right now Mitch Trubisky is the guy that can get him through that, then that puts more onus on, Matt Canada to get plays in there that work better. They just can't keep going down this path. We're a year plus into the Matt Canada regime, and the offense still has trouble early in games. They play good for one half, not good for another half. They're not doing anything to just, make you real confident that this is going to turn into a highly productive offense. And, so at some point it's got to be addressed either way. And I think it seems like right now Mike Tomlin's saying, look, we're going to keep going with Mitch Trubisky for a little while. And, maybe he's buying both him and Matt Canada's time.
Finally, Joe, two tactical things about the offense: using all parts of the field, specifically the middle of the field, and going up tempo more. I asked Tomlin about both things today. What'd you think of his responses?
Well, yeah, I think he was trying to, trying to duck him as much as he can. I think they do need to address the middle of the field more. I think that's an emphasis where you've either got to get your slot guy involved or your tight ends more involved. I mean, they waited so long to target Pat Freiermuth against Cleveland. It really wasn't a factor when he finally did get involved late in the game. Yeah, they've got to do that, and they've got to probably stress defense a little more by trying to move that. Now, if you're trying to run up tempo and you're going three and out, then it's not going to work very well. But, it's something they've got to try changing it up and doing some different things because, as we're seeing right now, nothing's really working on offense.
All right, so my thanks to Joe Rutter. Still to come this week, Jeff Erickson to talk fantasy football, as he always does once a week from RotoWire, and Zach Rosenblatt from The Athletic. He covers the Jets, so we'll preview the Jets from his point of view as well. This is Breakfast with Benz.